Sheryl Crow, and If It Makes You Happy. It's just gone 7:30. Welcome. It's BBC Radio Cornwall's evening show. It's Tiffany Truscott here with you until 10, and then it's David Shepherd. Now, Cornwall, of course, has inspired many writers, including my next guest. Axel Forrester spent some of 2004 walking the coast path in West Cornwall, and then during some of lockdown last year, decided to write a short story, or as we like to call them, novellas, called A Cornish Odyssey, which is out next week. And I'm delighted to say Axel is with me now. Evening to you.
Glad to be here.
Well, good to speak to you. Now, you are based on the other, Hastings. Am I right? Did I make that up?
Yes, I'm Hastings. I'm in Hastings now.
Mm-hmm. But you're not originally from there, are you?
Yes, I love living here. It's great.
You were originally from the States, and back in 2004, you decided you were going to come on a bit of an adventure to Cornwall, didn't you?
That's right. Like the protagonist in the novella, I was from California, which is about as far away from this part of the world as you can be. And I was a teacher. I was somewhat burned out, and I wanted to hike in a beautiful place. I actually closed my eyes and put my finger on the map, and it said Penzance. And I thought, well, okay, that's where I will start my adventure. And then I gradually worked out how I was going to walk the coast from there around to St. Ives. So it's just like in the novel.
but quite an incredible thing to do. You didn't know the area at all. Did you plan it all yourself as well?
No. Like in the story, I found a place called the Intrepid Traveler. I told them I wanted to go around, hike the coast, and they helped plan it out for me so that someone would take my bags from place to place and I could just hike from place to place all around the coast.
And was when you know, obviously you probably enjoyed that, you know, looking back on it, we always enjoy things once they're over, don't we? Looking back, you obviously enjoyed your time in Cornwall, but it wasn't until last year that you had this idea about kind of writing a story loosely based on it, was it?
That's right. It was a really amazing adventure. And I enjoyed it, but my goodness, there was lots of peril. The worst storm of, you know, the century happened while I was there, and I was in it. Got terribly lost. I just had just all kinds of things happen that were quite traumatic, but also really changed me in some interesting ways. And as I was in lockdown, like everybody else, and isolated, this, you know, you kind of have this clear space in your head to start, things start coming up. And I have been a novelist for the last 13 years, mostly writing historical fiction, but I decided to try something new, and I decided I wanted to write about this experience. And I also decided I would try writing it from a male perspective, trying out a male character.
That is interesting. So as you say, you have that idea, then you created this character called Grant, who,
right,
you know, without giving too much away, you know, he similarly is just feeling like he wants, you know, a big change, and he decides he's going to take off for a couple of weeks and do some hiking in Cornwall, and he gets someone to organise it for him, and they
right.
keep saying, are you prepared? It's really made me laugh, you know, are you prepared, have you done, you know, it's going to be hard going and everything. And he arrives in Cornwall, and you know, there's lots of references that I just love, you know, like the time it took him to get the train down from London, and then he wants to go to Mousehole, which of course everyone, you know, we know is called Mousehole. Some very funny interactions about that. Were those the kind of issues that you had to deal with as well when you were in West Cornwall?
Yes. In fact, I'd say 98% of what you read in the novel is what actually happened to me. So it was funny. It was strange. I was a stranger in a strange land. I didn't know how to say Mousehole. I didn't know how things worked at all. And I kept feeling, because I was American, the guy who organized it for me, who I only heard on the phone, kept warning me, you know, and kept telling me, this is going to be hard for you. You're an American. Yeah, this is going to be way beyond your, you know. And I just kept saying, just relax, you know. I can do this. I can do this. But it was hard. It was terrible. 14 miles the first day. My feet were just totally ripped to shreds. I mean, and I kept saying, you know, he sent me a package that was so full of all these warnings and bring a whistle and bring a compass and a thing and don't forget there's going to be storms. And I said, in July? And he kept saying, you know, I just didn't believe him the whole time. But sure enough, he was right.
And there's just some wonderful little anecdotes in it, that things like, you know, you spend all this time walking and then you realise you stop for lunch, you've only done 2 miles because of like the difficult
right.
conditions.
Oh,
and then
right.
and then you arrive at kind of a B&B that's been organised and they like say, drop your bags, you've got a ticket for the Minak Theatre, and then you've got to walk another
right.
20 minute walk
right.
as well.
Oh, it was, I just thought I could not walk another step. But he was just shoving me out the door with pillows and blankets. And I thought, well, this is very kind of him, but is he expecting me to camp out somewhere? I mean, why do I have pillows and blankets? It was a nice thing. But again, in July, it was freezing at the Minak Theater at night, you know. So he was just being kind. But I was incredulous that this was another thing I had to do on top of walk 14 miles up and down the coast.
Honestly, I don't know how you did it. But were
I don't
you,
either.
Were you keeping a diary at the time? Because obviously you've got some really good memories. I know it didn't happen kind of like loads of years ago, but you know, it's still a significant amount of time ago.
It was loads. I mean, you know, 18 years ago, it was a long time. But what's interesting is that it really left, obviously, a very strong mark on my mind. But I took a map with me. And I'm an artist too, and I did a lot of drawing on the map, so I drew out a lot of the things that happened. I mean, I literally made little steps along the map of where I was, and made it kind of like a treasure map. And I kept that map for years, and I recently, like last year, as I was writing this, I had it framed. It was, and it's big on my wall. I just knew there was something important about that journey that that made me want to revisit it. And so lockdown was when it bubbled up, and I decided to pay attention to it. And you know, once a week, when I did my usual writing, I worked on this novella, and over a year's time, you know, it came pretty quickly, and the memories just, you know, resurfaced. And I, after lockdown and after I wrote it, I just, you know, didn't do much with it or think about it again. But I got COVID in March, and that came with another kind of isolation, you know, where mm-hmm. I was really sick. And I was very discouraged, and I was thinking, you know, publication is such a long and difficult, you know, journey, and you have to sort of wait until you can make it through that system and what have you. And I'd been, you know, studying the craft of writing for a lot of years, and I was, you know, just in a COVID stupor. And when I came out of it, I decided to look into self-publishing. And I decided that maybe I need to wake up a little bit and think about ways to connect with readers. And in particular, I felt it was important to bring this story back to Cornwall. I decided I wanted to publish it so that I could perhaps make a return journey, reach out and find, you know, these places again and find these people again and find new people and new places. And since that decision, so many things have happened where I have met new people and I have a kind of vision of going back on a book tour of independent bookstores there and to take this story back to Cornwall. And I feel like that's kind of the way to bring it full circle.
Oh, and it must, you know, I'm sorry to hear you've been poorly and everything, but it must have given you something to look forward to, you know, to have this to focus on.
Yes, yes, it does. It really ignited this sense of doing something with this story after 18 years that kind of revitalized for me and made me understand that that was the beginning of my writing journey. It was after that, I had no idea at the time that I went back to my teaching job in the States, had no idea that a few years later, with the economy collapsing, I would need to be searching for a different job, which ended up being in London. And I came to London, my life changed completely, and I started a journey of becoming a writer. So it's kind of interesting that I really felt something magical, something wonderful happened with that trip. And it was because of COVID that I actually stopped and meditated on that for a while and realized there's still a message there for me somehow.
Oh, no, and I think it's wonderful. And obviously, don't want to give too much away because we want people to read it. But, you know, the story of the Mermaid of Zenna is very significant in it as well. You want to come back to Cornwall because chocolate cake features quite heavily, doesn't it?
It sure does. I was taken in the first time, you know, when it says the best chocolate cake in England. And then the next place I stopped, there's another sign that says the best chocolate cake in England. And I was tasting chocolate cake all through Cornwall. And I thought it was the best. Everywhere I went, I thought, well, this is the best, you know. So it really made an impression on me, the chocolate cake in Cornwall.
Well, there's plenty of cake here for you. Yeah. And so the book out next week, it's so exciting for you. How can people get hold of a copy? Because it's just a wonderful read, you know, real and just really funny.
Thank you.
Some funny observations.
Well, I it will be out on Amazon next week in all formats, Amazon UK, Amazon, you know, .com. And if you go to my website at axelforrester.com, there will be a link there to the landing page, which will take you to, you know, whatever format, wherever you want to buy it. Also, I'm very much in favor of independent bookstores, and I have an agreement with a bookstore owner here at Hastings Bookstore. He's going to be selling it in Hastings, but I hope to meet other independent bookstore owners in Cornwall and work with them to see if people can buy books there too.
Lovely. So you've got a busy time ahead, but, you know, very excited for you. And if you do come back to Cornwall to pay a visit, will you come and see us again? That would be lovely.
I would love to. I would love to. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And good luck with it. It's called A Cornish Odyssey, and I'll give out your website details again. But it's been wonderful to talk to you this evening.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That is Axel Forrester. So if you would like to read that book when it's out next week, go to www.axel, so it's AXEL, Forrester, FORRESTER.com for all the details. I was reading it earlier, chuckling away, because some of those observations about things in Cornwall that maybe visitors pick up on that maybe we don't because we're used to them. Very amusing.